Bacon's the best. Even the frying of bacon sounds like applause. It's like, ah! Yay, bacon! You want to know how good bacon is? To improve other food, they wrap it in bacon. If it weren't for bacon, we wouldn't even know what a water chestnut is.
Thank you, bacon. Sincerely, Water Chestnut III.
And those bits of bacon are like the fairy dust of the food community.
You don't want this baked potato?
Now it's your favorite part of the meal. Not interested in a salad? Bibbidi bobbidi bacon! I just turned it into an entree.
The Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Bacon. We continue at 9:40. Chris, a lot of you have been following that feud that Jim Gaffigan and I had in the Enquirer and other places, but I'm glad we were able to make up.
We moved on.
Yeah. Because it was rough for a while.
I like how you had the announcer there. Who was the announcer there?
That was the great Bill Curtis.
The great Bill Curtis. Yeah. Now he is, I mean, I've known him my entire childhood, sure. Right? And now he's kind of associated with real crimes.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Right? So, like, he's...
We believe he's committing many.
Right?
You could run short on material, you go out and off somebody.
And he also, he's on an NPR show, too, right?
He's got his own network. He's got a network called Decades. And the Decades takes a particular day, like today, June 10th, and looks back at news coverage over June 10th about stuff that happened. And he comes in and he narrates it, and it's great. I mean, honestly, if
best
you had
voice ever.
Oh, if you had phone sex, you'd have it with him, yeah. Right? Just to hear that voice.
I have, but yeah.
Well, you're at a different level of show business.
Right.
What am I supposed to say? We're going to talk about your movie, Being Frank, yes. Which, by the way, looks great.
Oh, thank you.
Want to introduce the lovely lady next to you?
Yes, this is Miranda Bailey, the director of the film.
Hello.
Was he temperamental as talent?
Very temperamental.
Yeah, look at...
No. I was expecting way more temperamental.
Really?
Yes. No, he was incredibly easy and quite talented.
He's really good. You know, and I've told people for a long time what a terrific actor you are, and they went, okay.
Yeah.
And I think people are finally starting to catch on. I mean, look at the work you get. You got like 48 films in the next year.
Yeah, but this one's the best.
That is the best.
For the record.
It's only taken 30 years.
Overnight sensation.
Overnight sensation.
Is it going to cut into the comedy?
No. No, no.
Well, don't get defensive. Don't be yelling at me. What do you mean, no? No!
No, well, I just think it's interesting because I'll do interviews and people are like, so, now you're doing the acting. Are you going to still do stand-up? I'm like, of course I'm still going
to Like,
do
you have stand-up. To pick one. You can't pick one.
Yeah,
you can't
have it's both. Like... It's not like I did 30 years of stand-up so that I could do acting. You know, it's like, it's something that, you know, I enjoy doing both of them. You know, stand-up, you can come up with an idea and go on stage. Whereas, like, acting, you have to be fortunate enough for someone like Miranda to cast you in a film. You know what I mean?
And were you looking at Jim right away? You can tell us now. The movie's made and it's great.
Yeah. Oh, as the first choice?
Yeah.
No, I had no idea who Jim was.
There you go.
That's hurtful.
She does.
You know, this is hurtful.
You know what I mean?
I didn't see him as... I didn't know him as a stand-up artist at all. Our mutual friend Danielle, who worked on my Mike Birbiglia movie, was working on the Jim Gaffigan show, and so I turned it on to support her to see what she was doing, and I was like, wait, that's my guy. Pull the offer from... Oh, and what's
from Clooney? Tell Clooney to stay home.
It was like, you know, yeah. And I was like, "That's the one I want." And you know, of course, we had to go through Jeannie because Jeannie is the boss.
Yeah,
the
boss. Rightfully so.
Jeannie
We're
was
all
like, yeah.
frightened of her.
Well, yeah. Why wouldn't you be?
Right?
I've met her. She's beautiful and scary.
So they went. They went for good looking. They went with a good looking,
suave,
guy.
Debonair.
Because I've auditioned for many things over the past 100 years.
We're not talking about the softcore stuff, right?
And not the softcore stuff.
Okay.
You didn't
and
have
there
to
were
audition
many
for that.
Conversations where my agent would say they went with the good looking guy. They went with a good-looking guy, or they needed some diversity in the cast.
I've
lost out to Cedric the Entertainer many times.
That's the next special.
He was my
they went with a good-looking guy.
They went with a good-looking guy.
All right, so the story, where'd you find it?
Well, it was a script
that
came to me from my agent, and it was about a 17-year-old boy whose father was having a second family.
In the same town!
In a different town.
Oh, I thought it was the same
town. Cross state lines.
Yeah, but not far enough away.
No, not far enough away.
Well, that was the 90s.
Yeah.
The swinging 90s.
The movie was originally set in modern day, and, you know, we changed a lot of it. So.
Well, I think about Jim with your 37 kids. You remember when you were on the show with me at one point and Donny Osmond called and said, you've had enough. We're cutting you off.
Yeah. Donny Osmond, when he tells you to stop having kids.
And
so it was a Mormon intervention.
So the idea that you would do a movie involving not one but two families with more kids, you just can't get away from it.
Yeah. No. In real life, I have more kids than in these combined families.
Is that right?
Yes. There's two in each of these families.
And you got five.
And I've got five. I've got a spare.
And you memorize them all?
Memorize all the five? Names? Yeah. I mean, kind of.
I have the flashcards you handed me when you walked in.
It's the quiz. One of them looks like me. That makes it easier.
Ah, that's helpful.
And then there's four good-looking ones.
Sure.
And then, there was, I don't even know what we're talking about.
We're talking about the fact that you, with all these children,
yes.
did a movie about a guy with two families.
It's insane. And by the way, it was like there was a moment, I was so excited about this opportunity. And then, like, my wife inconveniently got a brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
So
selfish of her.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because she didn't want me to succeed. And she got a brain tumor. And so we were like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this movie. Like,
probably should help at home a little.
There were I remember one day we had a rehearsal where I was going to meet the actor who was going to play one of my sons.
Mm-hmm.
And I called Miranda. I was like, I'm going to be late. Because there was huge drama. Life is filled with drama. And I was like, I'm going to be late. And so, I wondered, were you guys his wife?
No, I mean, we knew, obviously. And then I was.
But did you have meetings at that point going, we got to go with Clooney now? I mean, did you have those kind of meetings?
No, I was not going to have. I was going to stop the. Personally, I was going to stop.
You're a good person.
Wait. No, I'm not. But just for the record.
By the way, just so people know that don't know, Jeannie's good. Jeannie's doing great. Yeah. She just wrote a book about the whole experience.
Yes, and it's available for pre-order.
Okay. What's it called?
It's called When Life Gives You Pears.
Mm-hmm. And the reason was because I believe if this is right, the pear-sized tumor.
Yes, that it was a pear-sized tumor.
Well, you wrote Noble Ape while we were shooting.
Yes, yes.
So he was kind of practicing material on set, making fun of his wife's tumor.
Right. Not my wife. The tumor.
The tumor. That's right. Right. Making fun of the tumor.
It's an important distinction.
And I think that also made all of us be like, it's okay and it's light. And, humor comes from tragedy most of the time.
So when you get a script that you like, how much can you touch it up as director? Does it depend on the script and depend on the producers and all that?
Yes, it does. And luckily, I was one of the producers and I touched
it up. So you were the boss.
109%. And then he touched it up another 100%.
Do you get an angry writer when that happens?
Who cares? I think Glenn
is very
happy.
Paid for it?
He has a movie that it's his idea and it's his original characters and it's going out and it's being made. I mean, that's a great thing.
We, about once a year, well, maybe not that often, once every 5 years, we'll hear about somebody that's got two families.
Yeah.
Oh, it happened at every film festival that I was at, except for one. Someone raised their hand in the audience and said, I know someone who this happened to.
Yes.
I was shocked.
When we were shooting, one of the houses that we used, they're like, oh, yeah, next door, there was a guy that had two families. It's everywhere. Charles Kralt had two families.
Yes, he did, which is so bizarre. How do you research this? Do you do research for the role?
I had sex with numerous women.
Well, but what else is new?
It's weird. It's, this role, because the guy also has different relationships with his different spouses and his, children. So,
keeping
some
it fresh.
Of it is I have enough voices in my head where it's and there's also different roles. By the way, it's the dad you were for your older kids, is that the same dad that your younger kids are getting?
Sure.
Not necessarily. And so, but it was an ongoing discussion because sometimes I would be because I believe, and this is not necessarily reflected in the movie, but I believe that your spouse is a huge influence on the type of parent you are.
Well, I agree with that, sure.
In this movie, it's more of an analysis of who this guy was supposed to, one of the spouses is who he wants to be, and one of the spouses is who he was supposed to be.
And you're a traveling salesman?
No, I'm.
How do you explain being out of town?
He owns a ketchup manufacturing company.
Course. Ketchup baron.
Well, my grandfather was, he worked at Heinz, so that's how.
He actually was a ketchup baron.
Yeah. Not a baron. So. He worked at Heinz. He wasn't Heinz.
Oh, he wasn't one of the Heinz.
he worked at the factory. That's
Yeah. Do you remember as a kid, you always got sweet deals on ketchup? You never ran out? You never had that bottle where you squirted it and it sounded like gas?
Never.
Never had one of those?
They were glass.
But, you know, back in the day, there wasn't the squeeze bottle. I was explaining that to my children at dinner. I was like,
gotta hit it.
They're used to, like, you could do
fork,
maybe squeeze fork mustard. But, like, there was no mayonnaise on the squeeze things.
No.
The progress we've made.
As a country, society.
I think we're incredible. Going back to glass, though. I really don't.
We're even squeezing out relish.
Cheese.
What? Now, that's crazy.
We're squeezing out relish now. I mean, it is just... America is.
Well, you've said for a long time your goal is to have all food products in a squeezable container.
That's my goal. I mean, yeah. I'm part astronaut, so that's why.
I can't wait for your Thanksgiving dinner. Your squeezable Thanksgiving dinner.
Squeezable.
Which is mashed potatoes.
Well, the entire turkey.
I feel like there's a trend away from like having turkey at Thanksgiving, and it just kind of annoys me.
Well, that happened with Jeannie, right? Didn't her Thanksgiving wasn't at all squeezable?
It was all. Well, she was, you know, my wife. Had this is hysterical. She had paralysis of her throat, and so she would had to consume mostly liquids.
And this was over Thanksgiving.
She couldn't eat. My wife couldn't eat for like a month, and she happened to be married to a guy who built a career on being a glutton
and loving food.
And we all sent her like get well gift baskets,
and everyone sends food,
right.
And I would just eat the food
right
in a closet. You know, with my male lover.
Why she hurt you.
She was like, but we used to, and it's detailed in the book because it was one of those things like when we would do dinner, I would have to put like towels under doors so that she wouldn't have to be subjected to the smell.
Well, but for people who don't know Jeannie, she's always been this fabulously in shape, beautiful woman who I don't think ever overate in her life, did she?
No. Well, she's also got the metabolism of like a 12-year-old.
Okay, well, you seem like you're still bitter about that.
I'm a little angry about that.
Now, before I forget, because I will, because I'm at that point in my life, every star has, you know, a clothing line or some big endorsable name brand thing. Right. Why aren't you doing a food line of some kind? Why hasn't somebody come to you and said, I want to put out Gaffigan meat?
Meat. Gaffigan meat.
Gaffigan meat. I want a line of Gaffigan cows that I can use.
Well, some of it is that I feel like that's a little icky. But, there's been some stuff. But, like, there was a...
What's the greatest meeting you were ever in like that that didn't turn out to be anything?
There was they wanted to do a beer.
Okay.
And I contemplated because then I was like, all right, it could all go to charity. And then I was like, you know what? It's too complicated. And it's also, there's a certain ickiness, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to like be, I'm always trying to make money. Sell. You know, like, I have t-shirts that like have like that Amazon, they did like these jokes where they're on a t-shirt, and I still feel kind of almost icky about that.
Oh, where they took stuff from the act?
But in the end, I'm okay with it. Not enough to say no.
You just don't need to develop new stuff necessarily.
Right.
Yeah. You're doing a Q&A for this movie. I want to talk about that when we come back.
Yes.
We'll tell people about it in just a second. Being Frank opens Friday.
Yes.
No, not this Friday. Next Friday.
Oh, and it's next Friday. Like, next
it does open
Friday.
On a Friday.
One of the Fridays. It opens
Chicago,
next Friday.
Friday the 21st, yes.
Okay, so it's a couple weeks away, so we have time to plan.
You have time to plan.
Yeah. Get your tickets in advance.
We like to do press really early.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we have a special sneak screening tonight.
And because, a Q&A.
It's Chicago. It's Jim's town, and he wanted to give it to his family.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you're here, bud. Good to see you. 9:52. We'll come back with more in a moment. Jim Gaffigan's here. The movie's called Being Frank. What's the subtitle? I forgot.
You can choose your family.
That's it. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Back with the star and director of Being Frank. I don't know if you heard. It opens on the 21st here in Chicago. And there's a Q&A coming up. Madam Director, please identify yourself again for the kids.
Hello, my name is Miranda Bailey. I directed Being Frank.
Yes.
She's George Bailey's daughter.
Oh, well, fantastic.
Well, that's a gift from Mr. Potter.
That's actually pretty strong. You've been working on that, or is that
what? You don't understand here. You sit around and you weave your web. Well, you're nothing more than a warped, twisted old radio DJ.
I would... Oh, you bastard. I would love to hear you doing your entire special as Jimmy Stewart.
Is that who that
check
was?
Check me out. I'm giving an angel wings.
All right. Tell me about this Q&A. And special screening, either one of you.
It's a special screening.
And a Q&A.
At Landmark Cinema tonight. It's sold out.
Well, but if you line up and like start pounding, I'll bet you they give us another screening.
Yeah.
It's possible. We got two. We sold out in New York and LA and got extra screenings there.
Is it going to be online anywhere where people can see it?
Online?
Yeah. You're gonna,
online.
You're going to put it up somewhere?
You know, 90 days from now.
Okay.
Well, the movie or tickets?
Talking about tonight.
Tonight's tickets, yes, they are actually on landmarktheaters.com.
Right, but the Q&A tonight, will you show that?
Oh, that's
I'm an idea man.
You are an idea man.
Yeah, well, you've known that for a long time.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. That's a great idea, man.
Do you want to borrow my phone?
I was going to say, do you have like a camera team we could use for free?
Bill, what are you doing tonight? Are you available?
I could shoot this.
It's an indie film, so, you know, we still have a small
budget. Can I ask something?
Budget.
Why is everyone in this room not wearing pants? I find that uncomfortable. Why do you have a microscope on your lap?
Well, because it's time for your annual checkup.
Okay.
Ooh. I mean, I think that's good.
Zingity zang zang zing.
Yeah. I think you remember what we found last time.
Hmm? Yeah? This is going to be the best Father's Day this weekend.
What is it like for you with five kids? Do you get a lot of stuff?
Disappointing.
Yeah, do you get a lot of stuff? Not so much.
First of all, these kids, they don't get me anything. They don't even, like when I was a kid, you'd make your dad junk.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even make junk anymore.
They don't even give you crap you can throw out.
I don't think they do. They'll do some drawings.
Like something that macaroni glued onto something, nothing like that?
I think there's too many kids at school that have weed allergies. So I don't know. I'm sure I'll get some stuff and I'll pretend like
which of your kids is your favorite?
And then I'll throw it away.
Yeah, which of your kids is your favorite? I mean, order them. Like, you know.
I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but right. I don't like any of them.
Oh, you don't?
No, I don't have a favorite.
I don't think that's true. Like, if you were to rank them, like a preseason college basketball ranking.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. People bring that up, but, like, some of it is, I think I make such an effort, because, like, my middle child is on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always kind of like navigating, making sure that they all get their equal thing. I'm a great guy.
But honestly, at the level of stardom you're at now, do you even let them look you directly in the eye?
No. I mean, they're staying in a different building. I have a whole building
right.
for me. And then I have a kid building. It's called kid building.
Now, if they need you to help with homework, do they call your agent?
They call their supervisors that they can do.
Okay.
I am so, like, the homework help, I don't know how I got, like, I have a fourth grader. I don't know what she's doing in fourth grade. Like, their story structure, like, I tell stories for a living.
Sure.
And they're like, you know, the protagonist and all this, and I'm like, I never learned that stuff.
Right. Why would you start now?
I don't know. I think that's a reflection on Northwest Indiana.
Oh, it's possible. As a stretch. You know what you might want to do, though? Because I did this with
my
kids.
What do I want to do?
Cheat on other parents. Go to other parents. Cheat with them. Get them to help you.
Get them. That's a good idea.
Again, a star of your level. Just have them come over to the house.
Yeah. You know? Or they can Skype in.
Or I think you can just, like, pay your way into college now, right?
You can do that, right?
Aunt Becky, is she in this one? I love you, man. It's great seeing you.
It's good to see you, too.
I don't think you mean that.
I do. And Steve
Connor.
Cochran.
Yeah,
Cochran.
And this is Bill and Wendy. They're coming up next.
Bill, what are the... Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh, no. Thank you.
What are you guys going to talk about?
We've got your kids coming on. They have a very different story to tell,
Jim.
Oh,
is this... Oh, this is like...
It's a full-on intervention.
Yep.
We need a break?
When's Fahey Flynn coming on?
Wow. Good poll.
Good poll, right?
Strong. We'll come back in a second. And this is the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, where Steve will be next. Go see Being Frank.